Good afternoon, everyone. Now that we're gathered back in for our afternoon assembly, I want to continue with the study we started on Tuesday. Now, I know that's a long time ago, and it may tax your memory when I ask you, can you remember what the subject was that we were looking at on Tuesday? Hands up if you can. Yes, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, come on. 6. All right, one of the girls.
Second coming
of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember now? So, I thought my memory was bad, but even I could remember back to Tuesday. Well, you'll have to work on your memory, or I'll have to work on my preaching in order to have it register with you. Well, we're going to read a few verses from the Psalms. Psalm 50. Now, I'm picking this portion just to show you that long ago, God's people knew about the return of Christ. Not only knew about it, but were looking forward to it, encouraged themselves about it, and through it, and sung of the second coming of the Lord Jesus. I have no doubt, you know, that the Old Testament saints in many instances obviously knew more about the second coming than many of those people today who love the Lord know about his second coming. They were more aware of his second coming than many of God's people today. I think one of the reasons why, when you go to the Old Testament and listen to what the Old Testament believers, the Israelites who were saved, had to say about the second coming, one of the reasons why they were so versed with that event is because they will chiefly feature in that event. They will have a central role in that event. It will be, for them, a very great event. Now we'll doubtless come to how and why the second coming of Christ has a special place in the thinking of believing Jews at another study. But I'm sure that's one of the reasons why you find the Jewish people speaking about, singing about, longing for, and even praying for the return of Christ in the Old Testament. But let's read some verses from Psalm 50. You got it? Everybody there? Well, listen now while I read, and you make sure I don't make any mistake. Psalm 50, verse 1. The mighty God, even the Lord, even Jehovah, that's what the Lord, the word Lord means, hath spoken, and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined. Where's Zion? Who can tell me where Zion is? Yes. If you go to Jerusalem, there's one of the many gates in the walls around Jerusalem. There's Zion Gate. If you get to Zion Gate, you'll see that it's all pockmarked with bullet strikes because there was a fierce battle between the army of Israel and the Arabs who were opposing them quite a number of years ago now, when Israel expanded its territory and took over the city of Jerusalem, and it came back into the possession of the Jewish people for the first time since AD 70. And there was a fierce battle around Zion Gate. So Zion is a name for Jerusalem and the temple area of Jerusalem in particular. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined. Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. That's a warning. You know, a lot of people think God's dead. They're unbeliever. There is no God. God's dead. Never hear anything from God, ignoring the fact that God today has chosen to speak out through his word, through the preaching of his word. That's the voice of the Lord today. But unsaved, ungodly men don't want to hear the word, and they reject the word and are deaf to the scriptures, and so they say, God's not speaking. But it will not always be so. Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. Throughout the scriptures you find that that which signals the return of Christ is the roaring of a lion. God's voice sounding out to the world. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him. He shall call to the heavens from above, and to the earth, that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. The heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself. God is judge himself. Now, those six verses indicate the knowledge there was amongst the people of God, an awareness amongst the people of God of that great event away in the future. Remember, this was a long time even before the Lord Jesus had come the first time. But they knew not only that he would come the first time, but the scripture showed that he will come the second time. And it's the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ that we're considering in my time with you in the assembly. Now, I said last time it is an important subject, and it is. It is. I showed you the fact that it has been referred to from the very earliest times. We looked at Jude, where he tells us that Enoch, and remember, Enoch lived in the days of Adam. Adam was still alive when Enoch the prophet was serving God and preached about the second coming. Oh, that that might grasp your heart and register with you. It's an important subject. The Old Testament saints from the dawn of time, virtually, knew about the second coming of Christ. We looked at Job. Now Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. I think I told you that Job didn't have a Bible. Imagine that. Job didn't have a Bible. Why did Job not have a Bible? Couldn't afford to buy one? No. Why?
Hadn't been written.
Yes. Hadn't been written yet. Yes. There was no written scripture in the day of Job. So how did Job know? If there was no Bible to tell him, who told him? Yes, the prophets. Though there were not many prophets back then that we know of anyway. So how else might he have known? Yes?
God told him.
Yes, but how else? How else? Did Job worship? Did he worship in his home? Might not his daddy have told him? That's how the message of God was passed on in those days. Father told son and daughter, who in turn told their children. That's how the truth of God in those days was transmitted. That's the word we use. Passed on. Now, what does that tell you about the subject of conversation in the homes of Old Testament saints way back in the days of Job? What did they talk about? Oh, let the brain box begin to work. Come on. Yes, they talked about the second coming. Hey, do you ever talk about it in your home? Do you ever say to Mommy and Daddy, what's going to happen when the Lord Jesus comes again? Do you ever ask that question? You should. Job would have asked it. That's why he is able to say all the thousands of years ago that he did say, I know that my Redeemer liveth. They talked about the second coming in their homes. You know the sad thing? It's hardly ever talked about in the pulpit today. That's not the way it should be. We'll come, no doubt, to think about why the devil wants us to forget the coming of Christ. If you have to go down to Skillen and you have to go by bus and you forget to go to the bus stop, what happens? You miss the bus. You don't get there. Well, the devil wants us to forget about the coming of Christ and living as we should in the expectation of that event. Now, I've spent all this time telling you what I told you on Tuesday, and I haven't got to saying anything new. I mentioned that the coming of Christ was referred to in many places. In the Old Testament, right from the dawn of time, we read that Psalm 50, the verses 1 to 6, and there again. Look, I could have spent hours reading to you from the Old Testament where the second coming of Christ is recorded and spoken of and expounded. That shows how important it is, boys and girls. When the Lord, coming down amongst His people, says again and again and again and again and again to them about the second coming, that tells us it's important. It tells us it's important. Another means by which we can tell that it's important is the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke about it on two particular occasions. Those occasions indicate to us how important this subject is. He spoke about it just before the cross, just before He died. Now the Lord knew everything that would happen to Him at the cross. He not only knew about the physical suffering that He would go through on the cross, He not only knew about the cruel tauntings that He would face as He hung on the cross, He not only knew about the wicked betrayal of Him by Judas, a supposed friend, He not only knew about how the apostles would all run away and leave Him. All of these things surely were a distress to the Lord and bore down upon His mind and heart and soul and spirit. But He knew also that on the cross He would encounter His Father's wrath. We have no idea how great it was. We cannot begin to understand the eternal wrath of God against sin. And the Savior knew He was going to encounter that on the cross. Because you see, on the cross, He took our place. The old hymn writer puts it so sweetly and wonderfully. He took my sin and my sorrow. He took my place, and the wrath of God that was my due, it was due to me because of my sin, fell on Him. But not only my sin, your sin. The sins of all of God's people throughout all the ages, Christ bore. What a burden. What a burden. And the wrath of God that was due upon such sin fell on the Lord Jesus. And the Savior knew all about that. But even though there was this immeasurable, unspeakable experience that He was to pass through at the cross, He talked about His second coming just before it. Talked about it just before it. Matthew chapter 24. Gotta be quick. Matthew chapter 24. Now the whole chapter is all about the second coming of the Lord and events that would lead up to it, etc., etc. But in verse 30, I want you to look at this verse. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Every word in that verse is very important. But there's two words that are particularly important. It's the repeat of the word then. See what it says? And then shall appear. And then shall all the tribes of the earth. Now when do we employ the word then? When do we make use of it? Usually when we're telling people of a sequence of events, or giving directions to someone, and we're telling them how to get to our house, and we'll describe our road, and maybe we'll describe some of the houses in our road, and we will say to them, and when you pass the house with the blue roof and the green windows and the white door, then you'll see our drive. It's an indication of time. And the Lord Jesus is saying here in this chapter, these events will take place, and when you see them taking place, then. I was talking to a minister during the conversation. He said, oh, of course, we can never know when the Lord Jesus is coming. Now, I'm a very polite person. I didn't say all the things that sprung up in my mind to say. But that minister couldn't be more wrong. Couldn't be more wrong. We do know when the Lord Jesus is coming. Because he has given us the signs. He's told us to watch out for these things. What we don't know is the exact day, the exact hour. But we can tell the approach. We can tell the approach of that great event. And the fact that the Savior chose to tell these things in Matthew 24 to his disciples with the shadow of the cross falling upon him indicates how important it was. The chapter begins with the disciples asking some questions about the second coming. Now, you could have understood had the Savior said, look, very shortly I'll be dying on the cross. Don't annoy me now with questions like that. You could understand him saying that, but he didn't, you see. Because this is a very important matter. Very important matter. Time's gone, but if you care to look up the first chapter of the Act, you will discover that the angels who stood there with the disciples after the Savior had disappeared, they said, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus shall in like manner come back. So when he went away, there was a reminding of the disciples. The Lord Jesus is coming again. That's how important it is, boys and girls. I'm going to cut short today's study. You older ones, if you have a concordance or an online Bible, I suggest you do a search of the word waiting or wait in the New Testament. And you will find time and time again that when Paul wrote to the churches, he spoke of them waiting for the coming of Christ. The coming again of Christ was uppermost in the minds of the people of God as they went about their duties. Farmer his farming, the mechanic his mechanicking, the joiner his joinery, the wall builder his building, whatever, the housewife, young lassie, young lad, whatever it was they were engaged in, still they thought about the coming again of Christ. That was the disposition, the attitude of the church. And if you turn then finally to the last words of the Bible, what do you think they're talking about? The very last words of the Bible. What do you think they're talking about? The Lord says, I come. I come quickly. And the writer responds to that by saying, even so come, Lord Jesus. The Savior is saying, I'm coming back. And the church responds, even so come, Lord Jesus. That should be our attitude today. Thinking about, longing for, praying about the return of the Lord Jesus.